You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast. The Pointer Sisters there and a Neutron Dance, and they are so happy, as opposed to me. Hello, Jeff.
Well, you should be happy now that I'm here. I mean, you should be. I mean, it should be contagious. It should be. You should just lap it up. You should soak it in your DNA. You should do that. You should try. Well, one day. Soon. Next year. Yeah.
So is my silence a form of rejection?
Well, it is a form of rejection. I'm taking it on the chin. I'm taking it on the chin. Don't reject me, Richard. No. I can't take it.
Okay. All right. Look, not a lot of people can, but we get into that now because this is our topic this afternoon, how to handle rejection like a pro. You should know. This is the best of life, love, and Acha. Yeah. And Jeff Kahn is in the studio to talk us through that. Hello, Jeffrey Ernest Kahn.
Hello, Richard, the unicorn.
All right.
Here we go. Okay. So what's the Acha stuff?
Just what came to mind.
I reject that stuff.
It's too spicy. I love it.
And I can't do it.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Acha's the business.
I'm out.
You're out.
I'm out.
You reject Acha.
Acha. Can't anymore, man. It's too much.
All right. Okay. So what is this all about?
All right. It's all about rejection. And the craziest thing was I heard something about an American study that said that this generation, latest generation, is the most rejected generation ever. And I thought, oh, wow, you know, that's quite an interesting thing to say. And actually, rejection is a thing that we need to, I've been in the sales industry for a very, very long time. And, you know, you've got to handle rejection all the time. And it's just banded around as part of, you know, what you got to do. But actually, rejection is quite a big thing to handle as a human being, as a person, as somebody in life, right?
Not isolated to sales, because that's a very different type of thing.
Completely.
Yeah.
But in general, rejection. So I had a look at this thing, and the study really got to me. And I said, the most rejected generation ever is a strong one, actually, because it's used rhetorically and emotionally to describe how a generation feels. Do they feel marginalized? Do they feel misunderstood or excluded by broader society and so on? And while it's subjective, though, different generations have experienced various forms of rejection. Okay, so I wanted to break it down today, and I wanted to maybe give a few tips on how to handle rejection, you know, if you're struggling with that kind of stuff. Mm. Because, you know, sometimes it comes along and you're fine for a while, and then something hits you and you're devastated. You can't move. You're actually paralytic. But so let's look at Gen Z. Gen Z was born between 1997 and 2012, and they are considered the most rejected today. And why do people actually say this? So why do we say? Because there's a mental health crisis. We know that. We've got rising rates of anxiety, depression, and suicide in our society. There's economic pressure. There's a high cost of living. There's student debt. Fewer stable jobs or opportunities are available. There's social alienation as well. You know, the work thing or whatever, blamed for societal decline, too sensitive or cancel culture and that kind of stuff. You've got climate anxiety, inheriting a planet in crisis, global warming, without feeling empowered to do anything about it or to change it. Online relationships as well. Less face-to-face interaction and more loneliness, especially for males, actually, out there. There's more loneliness. Then millennials, also called the lost generation, they were born between 1981 and 1996, and they also feel rejected. They've also been let down by the economy. Entering the job market during or after the 2008 crash, that was nasty on them. And then housing affordability, often priced out of home ownership. I know for one thing, my son in California, he's got a really good job and whatever, but he couldn't afford to buy a house. Mm. The deposit was too hectic there, so they had to move out of California to a better place, a cheaper place. They mocked culturally. They're labeled as entitled or lazy by older generations. So you've got the boomers born before 60, saying, oh, lazy and whatever it is. So let's look at the historical perspective of it. Other generations also felt rejected. Boomers. So during the 60s, they faced backlash with counterculture and anti-war protests and civil rights activism as well. Gen X, born in 1965 to 1980, often described as neglected or forgotten between the boomers and the millennials as well. So we're speaking in current social discourse, of course. Gen Z is arguably seen as the most rejected ever. But not necessarily because of hard metrics, but because of a widespread feeling of alienation, pressure, and being misunderstood by the older generation and institutions as well. So I thought, based on all of this stuff, I thought it'd be quite interesting to look at handling rejection in general. Not necessarily all these big things, but in general. So somebody rejects you, or you get rejected by a job, or you get rejected by a parent, or you get rejected by a child, or you get rejected by a love interest. You know, there's so much rejection going around at the moment, and how do we actually handle it? Now, we all handle it in our own certain way, but I just thought, let's have a look at it and see if we can help. So if you're struggling with rejection at the moment, or you're being rejected by something, you want to do something and something's blocking you, let's have a look how to sort it out. Okay, first of all, you've got to acknowledge the pain. And there is pain. Okay, it hurts. Okay, nobody takes rejection on and just throws it away quite easily. There is a bit of hurt, whether it's personal, whether it's romantic or professional. It's going to hurt. Okay, so it's okay to feel disappointed. You're allowed to. Okay. You can even feel sad and you can feel angry. Acknowledge it. Don't block it. Okay. Number two, normalize rejection. Every one of us experiences rejection. It's a part of life. So it's normal. It's everyday stuff. And even the most successful people have been faced with major rejections. Okay, so I'll get back to some examples a little bit just now, and you'll be blown away by this as well. Do not take it personally. Now, that's easier said than done, okay, especially in a romantic relationship. But it's often about the other person's needs or preferences or timing. It's not about your worth, okay? So a no doesn't define your value. You've got to understand that. So no can be good. No can be good. All right, so reframe the experience. Every rejection is a redirection. So once you've been blocked somewhere, it doesn't mean that there's not another door or another opportunity. Okay, so you just have to say, what can I learn from this? How does it make me feel stronger? Okay, how can I develop my sense of humor from this thing? Okay, avoid overgeneralizing. Okay, so one rejection doesn't mean you are unlovable, completely unworthy, or doomed to failure for the rest of your life. Okay, it doesn't. It's part of life. Entrepreneurs, if you speak to entrepreneurs, they get rejected all the time. They fail all the time. They go into liquidation a lot before they actually make it. So they're a different kind of animal, but it doesn't mean that you're a failure. Please, you know, challenge negative self-talk with the evidence of past successes. You've been successful in your past. So just look back at that and say, listen, I did something right there. I did something right here. I did. Look for the positives and balance it. Okay, the importance of inner strength is important. Okay, so you've got your self-care and your mental fitness is very, very vital. So techniques like journaling, mindfulness, or talking to a coach or a therapist can also help you, or somebody, you know, like a mate that's positive. Keep perspective. Okay, is this rejection going to matter in 5 weeks' time? Is it going to matter in 5 months' time? Or is it going to matter in 5 years' time? If not, let it go. Okay, sometimes rejection opens doors to better opportunities anyway. You're blocked sometimes for a reason. Try and stay open and try again. So staying open means let your mind stay open and say, okay, well, that's cool. That's not working. I'm going to try something else. Okay. So keep showing up. That's the secret. In a dating environment, don't let one bad experience close your heart. Okay? There's somebody else out there for you. That person wasn't meant for you. There's another person waiting for you. And it might take you a while and a few rejections to get to that person. But that's it. In business, your next presentation might be the one that lands you the deal. Okay. Now, we all know from Zone Radio, we got rejected. Remember a year ago, we got a nasty letter, right? And we had to handle that, right? And the management of the station handled it like a bunch of stars. And look where we are today. Absolutely 100% on another path going forward on a higher level than we were. So it involves the loss of a hope or a future that you imagined. So grieve it, but don't get stuck there. Get stuck in on the new path. Okay, that's important. And then in romantic relationships, you might feel personal, but it's often a mismatch between you and that other person in timing and in values and in goals. So not everyone is meant to be part of your forever story. Okay, that's it. Right, now, use rejection as a mirror. So you got to look at yourself and say, was there a lesson in the way I communicated? Was there a lesson in that I didn't set boundaries or I didn't feel self-worth about this person or at this time? And so rejection can reflect areas where we need to grow and we need to learn and encourage that in yourself. Okay. Celebrate. It took courage to try. Okay. Anyway. I remember when you asked the first girl out for the first time and you were so nervous, you nearly couldn't hold the phone. In those days we had the phone you had to dial, and you didn't dial that phone because you were so nervous. And then eventually you got to do it.
You dialed the first four numbers and stopped.
And you stopped. You put it there. Ah, not now. Maybe tomorrow. Okay. So whether you've asked for a promotion, expressed a love, or pitched an idea, you were brave. Okay. You were brave because it does take bravery to get out there and make yourself vulnerable. Rejection doesn't erase the bravery behind the action. So, it's not your fault somebody didn't see the value, okay? You still have value. Guard against bitterness. Don't get bitter. Don't let rejection make you cynical or closed. And generally in a relationship that happens, bitterness poisons the future opportunities and the future relationships as well. So spiritual perspective on rejection is sometimes the universe or God blocks what is not aligned with your higher path. So rejection is a protection and a redirection. I'll give you an example. I booked about 2 weeks ago to go and see Nick Rabinowitz at the Baxter. And I booked it quite quickly. And the next week we went, and Thursday night, and we were all excited to see Nick. And I get to the door and they wouldn't let me in because I'd booked for Friday night, not Thursday. I felt like a complete job, of course, but I redirected my rejection and said, okay, well, go home and it's fine. Something stopping me going here tonight, and maybe something would have happened later tonight. I don't know. You never know what happens. So we went the next night. We had a fantastic time and it was great and no problem. Okay, but something could have happened, and sometimes the universe or God does block that and looks after you. The angels are with you, guys. Okay. Recreate a rejection ritual. So write it down, burn it, and tear it up, symbolically letting it go. I release this, and it no longer serves me. I release it because it doesn't serve me anymore. Whatever it is, do a thing. I mean, it... I don't know if you remember back in the day at the insurance company, Richard, we were saying goodbye to a branch, and we actually had a funeral up on the roof. We had an actual funeral for the branch, and everybody stood around, and we had a little fire thing, a Weber, and everybody took a piece of paper, and they wrote, and they put the paper in, and they burnt it. We made a ritual about it, and we said goodbye to the branch, and it was quite a nice thing to do. So if you are in business and you're closing down a division or something's happening and it's starting new, do something, creating a ritual. Don't let people feel rejected, okay? And talk it out with a safe person. Bottling it up can lead to resentment there and depression as well. And talk to a coach or a mentor or a friend who can help you. Build a yes mindset. Keep seeking opportunities for love and growth. A no does not cancel your future. It sometimes clears the path as well. Okay. Knowing when to try again and when to move on is important as well. Sometimes you need to persist until you succeed, and it's admirable to do that. But there are other times when it's time to let go and walk away. Okay. The key is discernment. Have a look at it. Work on the system and not on the problem and not in the problem. Again, practice self-validation. Don't wait for others to choose you. Choose yourself daily. Wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to have the most fantastic day. I don't care what happens to other people, what their decisions are. I'm having a great day. And self-love is the ultimate antidote to rejection. You've got to look after yourself. Now, here are some examples before we finish about people that were rejected. Okay, so J.K. Rowling, you've all heard of J.K. Rowling. Richard hasn't because he doesn't read these kind of books. But she wrote the Harry Potter series. And but she was a single struggling mom on welfare before she wrote it. And she faced rejection from multiple publishers before finding success as well. Another one was Michael Jordan, legendary basketball player, was cut from his high school team due to a perceived lack of height and skills. Okay. Jeez. And this rejection fueled his drive to become a champion. The other one is Oprah Winfrey. She was fired from her job as a news anchor for being deemed unfit for television. Okay, I can imagine. You know what she did. She became a media mogul, and in her day was brilliant, and a billionaire. Here's another one. Steven Spielberg. He was rejected as well. Steven Spielberg, can you imagine? He's a renowned film director, of course, from everybody knows Steven Spielberg. And he was rejected from the University of Southern California's film school three times before achieving his dreams. Another one, the Beatles, iconic band, was told by Decca Records that guitar groups are on their way out. Imagine that executive's decision after their massive success. And then finally, I think this is brilliant. Walt Disney was fired from a newspaper for lacking imagination before creating the iconic Walt Disney Company. I mean, somebody made a decision they didn't have a clue. I know Queen as well was told, you know, no, we don't want to use you. You're not a good band, and no.
My favorite rejection to success story, and every time I see her on screen, I think about it consciously.
Yeah,
because as far as I'm concerned, she's the most brilliant actress ever to have graced a screen.
Yeah,
and that's Meryl Streep.
Oh yeah,
she was told she would never make it. She was too ugly. She was go away. Don't bug us.
Big nose.
yeah, no, you haven't got what it takes.
Yeah,
and look at her today. And the other one was Lucille Ball. She was also told.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She was told that she would never make it. So yeah, there are many. The world is full of stories like that.
Yeah, well, look at Rocky. I mean, Rocky, Sylvester Stallone ended up sleeping in a bus shelter. He had a dog, and he had this Rocky script that he had written. Mm. And a lot of the places wanted the script, but they didn't want him in. They said, no, but you won't be good in this. We want to use somebody else. And he said, no. And he slept in a bus shelter. He actually had a dog, and he sold his dog to make money to live. And then eventually he sold his script, and he was the star of the show and whatever, and he went to buy the dog back. Remember that?
Yeah. Cool.
Anyway.
I think that when you look at it and you put it into perspective, rejection does have a role to play in life. If we were going to go through life plain sailing and not facing any kind of rejection at any level,
yeah,
then I don't know whether that would be a fulfilling life.
I think you need
to have wins, and sometimes wins come when you faced rejection, and then you eventually overcome it, and it might not be in the particular direction that you went. You may have had to deviate slightly, but at least you had the win. And the rejection sometimes is just a block. It's like that maze thing that you go through, what did they call those things? It's a maze.
Maze.
Where you come up against a dead end,
yeah,
and you have to take a different course. And I think that, I think rejection and facing rejection is character building. That's what I believe.
No, there's absolutely no question about it. And
I'll tell you a story about rejection. Tell me
a story.
Okay.
There's nobody else listening. Just talk to me, Richard.
Well, I'm...
Tell me a story.
I can't believe I'm going to be doing it, but anyway.
No, go.
So back in the day, people have heard this story before, but others might not have. Back in the day, I used to be a presenter at a radio station called Fine Music Radio Station. A wonderful, wonderful radio station. And their art, their theater, their studio was in the Artscape Theater.
Hmm.
So the shows used to come out, because it was an evening show. The shows used to come out. The people who stand there and they look through the window, like they're going to do with us in the mall, and they think you can't see them, but you can. But for some reason, they think that it's a one-way glass. Anyway, quickly, Julie Andrews was not allowed to play Eliza Doolittle in the film. They said she was too plain. There we go. Yeah. Anyway, so one for a number of Friday evenings, okay, just Friday evenings, the foyer would clear and there would be this youngster standing there, like watching us. And I worked with a guy, my producer was a guy called Kurt Jensen, and he was like, we'd look at this oak. Now, it's night time. People are gone home. And this light is now standing there checking out. I said, eventually, after like the third week, I said to Kurt, listen, either this oak is planning a heist, or he's trying to take us out, or I don't know what's going on here, but you better go. But Kurt's a big guy. So I said, Kurt, go check out what this oak's on about. He walks across the foyer, and he finds this fellow. And he says to him, listen, what's your story? You know, what's your case? And he says, no, he's just watching the radio station. He just loves the radio station. He just wants to be involved in the radio station.
Oh, wow.
So Kurt says, well, why don't you just come in? He said, no, he was just afraid we would chase him away. So I said, well, why would we do that? But anyway, come inside. So he, cut a long story short, for a while he packs CDs, makes coffee and all that kind of stuff. And eventually Kurt leaves. And I replaced Kurt with this youngster. His name is Brett Cannemeyer.
Oh, my word.
Okay?
Yeah.
And Brett turns out to be the most magnificent producer.
Yeah.
And ultimately a great radio man. And is the guy that joined me when we launched Zone Radio. Him and I put this thing together. Anyway.
Brilliant.
But I had this conversation. I said, you know, why do you come there 3 weeks, 4 weeks, and it was at least that? And stand and look at us instead of just coming to the door and knocking on the door. He says, no, let me tell you. He says, I wanted to go and do this at KFM. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And 25 times they chased him away.
Oh, my word.
25 times.
Yep.
He was turned around at the door and they chased him away. As Brett would so eloquently say, let me weg ja. Okay? And so I said, was that what was scaring you from coming to us? He said, yes, but he knew that if he kept going back, at some point, was going to pluck up the courage to knock on the door.
Mm. Oh, shame.
Okay? He was going to pluck up the nori. Mm. No, no. But fortunately, we went to him because we thought he's trying to rob us. But and here's the kicker. Here's the kicker. Do you know where Brett works today?
KFM.
Prime Media. He's one of the technical managers for K Talk.
Yeah.
Okay, the very station that chased him away 25 times, Daverke. That's where he's working.
It's a lovely story.
And to me, that is like the ultimate overcome. I mean, 25 times, even, you know, but he didn't give up.
That's another thing. I've got a client, which I must tell you the story as well. I've got a client. His name's Liam. Liam Valdia. He's a lovely guy. Ex model, New York, whole story, but he was a soccer player. He played for Wits up in Johannesburg, and he wanted to play for Manchester United. He played a little bit in Europe, and then he went over and he wanted a gig at Man United. But you can't just get in without being. So he stood in winter in England outside Man United's stadium. I don't know what it's called. It's called something. I don't know. I'm not a soccer guy, but he stood outside with a placard. He stood outside there. I think it was for about 5 weeks, every morning as the manager drove in to the stadium, please give me a shot. Give me a shot. Give me a go. You know, Let me try out. He stood in the rain every single morning. And every single morning for 3 to 4 weeks, the manager would drive past in the car, not say a word. But the one morning, about 4 or 5 weeks down the line, he stopped the car, wound his window down and said, what are you doing? You're standing here. He says, I'm from South Africa. I'm a soccer player. I want you to give me a run with the academy. And he said, you can't just come to Man United and stand outside of the placard and say, give me a run. He said, well, I'm here and I'd love a run. And he actually got a run. and he actually got into the academy. Wow. And he played a little bit there, and then he came back to South Africa. But how about that?
You see, that's a guy you want on your team.
Absolutely.
Because you know he's not going to give up.
He's not going to give up. You know, and that's what should be for all of us. Don't give up, people. Don't give up because it's there. It's waiting for you. It gives me goosebumps. You just know. And I remember when we got the notification on the radio station, we'd lost the license and whatever. This management and the team here never, ever gave up. We were upset, and there were times when we were frustrated and angry and all that kind of stuff. But we never, ever, you never gave up. You and Judy, you never gave up. And everybody, we all came and we knew it was going to be good. You know?
Old Trafford.
There we go. Thank you, Fred. Whoever sent that
it
in.
It was Fred. And
thank you, Fred.
Hayden said, how's it, Jeff? I needed this today. Thanks, brother. Yes. Wins are defined by losses. Yeah.
Ah, there we go.
So there we go. That's rejection. And I think everybody in their life has faced it. And everybody deals with it differently. But what this afternoon gives people some hope about is that you don't have to fall to pieces.
Absolutely. Never do.
Yeah. Because some people do.
Because it happens a lot to you. So you think it's in it, but it's never end of the road. There's always a reason why it happened to you.
So if you're listening this afternoon and you know somebody who's going through a bit of a rejection phase that is not sort of making headway, and they're looking at the possibility of giving up, and giving up can take a whole host of forms, from the mild to the extreme, maybe you want to share this podcast with them.
Absolutely.
That is it. We're done.
That's it. We're done. Thank you, Richard.
All right. Well, now you can get out of here.
Okay, I'm going now.
You are now being rejected.
Ejected.
Both of them. Double whammy.
Some of both.
Perfect storm.
Some of both.
All right. Good stuff.
Thank you very much for that, Jeff. Have a good afternoon. Yeah. And
thank you, Rich. Thanks, everybody.
And go away.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.